Blog Talk Radio.
Marketing Pulpit International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. It's a 73 and cloudy. Well, no, it's 73 and sunny here in New York. Hope you had a good weekend. Labor Day weekend. I'm enjoying mine. A very restful respite from the week, the work week. Been involved in many, many projects, and we talked about this approximately 5 weeks ago when I went off the air. I told you I was making some big and bold moves, and I'm still in the throes of making those big and bold moves, and I have to try to reconcile that with the show, try to run a guest host or something. It's pretty difficult, though, because we downsized due to COVID-19, and persons that would ordinarily be able to host the show aren't really available, so it leaves it to yours truly, which I'm going to have to pre-record on Sundays in the foreseeable future and set the show up on Monday morning early, and hopefully everything will run smoothly. I'm not so certain about this technology on this platform, however. So I would ask that the listening audience and those that want to join us, give us a call at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. And we switched everything up. East New York Management is still in business, but much slower pace, let me put it that way. Word that I was seeking escapes me. And Applied Anthropologic is on a it's on its ascendancy, so that's where we're putting all our eggs, so to say. And we have an open spot that we're parked at on the World Wide Web, www.appliedanthropologics.com. The domain is up and running. We just haven't built the website and created any content yet. That's the next evolution. And these things take time. And, you know, we've been slowed down with the COVID, and then we're in the midst of a raucous battle for the presidency, for the soul of the nation, really. We've been talking about that for quite some time, not only me, but other pundits and talk show hosts. And so we're going to see where this goes. We're going to try to get this nitwit out of office. However, he's a racist, a bigot, a nitwit. a bumbling clown, an embarrassment, and those racists and their sycophants that want to promote this clown show as a legitimate president or presidency or presidential administration or administration, they're going to be in for a rude awakening on November 3rd, Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. And I urge everyone, as we have been doing for the last several months, to get out and vote. You have no right to say one mumbling word if you do not get out and vote and buy into this foolishness that your vote does not count. They're going to do what they want anyway. This nihilistic, really indolent way of framing, you know, your inability or your unwillingness or your incivility in participating in a civic act that your forefathers, certainly your grandparents, might have been beaten for. I'm positive of it. You know, you say you're a millennial, you're in your 30s, that would make your grandparents roughly in their 70s now. And they would have experienced some discomfort in voting in the 60s and even the early 70s. You know, I mean, but certainly their parents, your great grandparents, you know, who would have been voted in the 40s and the 50s, would have experienced the full brunt of the racism that caused black people to be killed, lynched, literally, just to have that right. And for these people that are coming along today, utterly, incomprehensibly, given to this ridiculous notion that your vote doesn't count, is laziness. There is no other way to parse it. It's just sheer laziness. And the unwillingness to participate in society. But, you know, these are the same people that could reel off Cardi B's rhymes, you know, lyrics, word for word, you know all about her business, you know, all about foolishness, you know, things that, you know, don't pay your bills, don't pay my bills, and don't advance the race. You know, we've seen this phenomena rear its ugly head, man, time and again, you know, where people are, you know, too busy living vicariously through public figures instead of living their lives to the best of their ability. Everybody's not going to be, I'm not wealthy, but I live my life to the best of my ability. And I spent some time, as a matter of fact, this weekend with my son, and he has other siblings, and you know, they come and go, and they, you know, they're in a situation where, you know, there's not much guidance there. So, you know, I stopped at the grandmother's house, and her grass was overgrown. Her husband had passed away a year and a half, 2 years ago, and he used to cut the grass religiously. It was, you know, I had a rider, and beautiful grass. Now it's, you know, full of crabgrass, and it's overgrown. And two adult children literally stay over there. Adult grandchildren literally stay there practically day and night and do nothing. It is outrageous. And this is the environment in which my son is being raised. So, yeah, I raised the issue with his mother, and I told her that, you know, I'm taking charge here. Partly motivated me from relocating from, you know, because our business was all virtual anyway, so there was no need for me to be in one particular area when he is physically in another area. So I took charge of that situation or I'm in the process of doing so. And got him a haircut. He was very happy about that, you know. I mean, simple stuff. She calls superficial, but it's not. It's things that go directly to his self-esteem and, you know, dealing with his performance issue, because a lot of these children that are going into this virtual school, they're not going to make it, man. They're going to get left behind. He's going into the sixth grade, and he's already underperforming. He's not working up to grade level. So I reached out to a couple of local universities for some of the students in the math and physics department, Chinese languages, specifically Mandarin, because China is going to be the next great superpower. You know, they're on the verge of overtaking us now. If you look at some of their cities, you know, the infrastructure, clean, super fast, ultra fast subway systems, gleaming cities that are emerging, you know, from once really small rural villages that just sprouted up over there. You know, they sprouted up really quickly. So, you know, China is poised to become the next great superpower. So I want them to learn Mandarin, you know. I don't want to overwhelm them with languages, even though Spanish would be great. French would be an additional language that he could pick up. And then, you know, we'll deal with the activity part of it. So I'm putting, you know, some energy into things that are important at this juncture in my life, which we all should do. I mean, COVID gave us time to sit down and reflect on our lives and reflect on aspect of our lives where we could do things a lot better, make a change. And you start by making a change in yourself. And then from there, you know, with those, you know, around you, your loved ones, you know, your children and your significant other, your lover, you know, whatever you have, whatever you got going on, you know, you work on those people that are in your life. And in turn, they work on you. And hopefully it's for the better. And that's where we're at now. So that's what I did basically this weekend. And trying to transition into a couple of, you know, some additional income streams, because I'm kind of behind schedule on a couple of things that I need to do. I'm right there, but I just need to free up more time and be in a more positive environment. You know, everything doesn't often, you know, always go the way you want it. You could try to control as much as you can in your sphere of influence, and at that juncture, you just leave it alone, you know, and work as best you can, you know, like nature. You know, you have to work with nature. If you work with nature, nature will work with you. And that's what I try to do. You know, I can't control everything, you know, with one of my income streams. So I just, you know, I do as best I can. And I you know, look for something else to give me the time that I need to pursue my ultimate objective, which is to get Applied Anthropologics, you know, our research consultancy off the ground. You know, ethnography and you know, the counseling part where we're doing drug and alcohol counseling, that's the give back part. The profit making part is the cultural competence and that sort of thing, which has been around for a long time in various iterations, but we want to take it to another level using big data and some other promising avenues that they have been exploited but have been, you know, scoffed at as, you know, pseudoscience and that sort of thing. So we're going to incorporate all those in our practice, you know, our experiments. It's an experimental lab. That's what it is. That's how we describe it. If I were to do a 30-second elevator pitch, it would be described as a as a lab. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back on the other side and talk about this election. Back here at Market Bubble International, New York edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. It's 10:49 a.m., 73 and sunny here in Brooklyn, New York. I hope you had a good weekend. I had an interesting one. I mean, it was quite busy, you know, and today is my day of rest, you know, federal holiday, Labor Day, you know, which is an important day, you know. A lot of these states with these right-to-work laws, I say right to work for nothing. You know, you go down to South Carolina and a lot of foreign automakers have set up shop in these states because they know that it's very difficult given the state law, you know, limitations, statutory limitations, you know, to set up shop in these for workers to organize. You know. And basically organization is just you know, where you're protected from the whims of a capricious divorce. You know, you can come in and, you know, they fire you for nothing. You know, you haven't done anything, but, you know, they in a bad mood or might have done something minor, you know, they make a big deal out of and let you go. And unions prevent that sort of, you know, arbitrary and capricious, you know, activity. And then the other part of it is, you know, they negotiate for higher wages where they make the principals share some of the profits with the workers, you know. So, you know, I've worked in a few industries where which were union. I still do. Which are union shops. Some are open, some are closed, and we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of open and closed shops and that sort of thing, but suffice it to say, this is how, you know, certain ethnic groups in this country built wealth. You know, they went into the trades, and I was talking to my child about it the other day. He said he likes carpentry. He likes everything. You know, he's at an age where he wants to be a doctor one day, a firefighter the next day, you know, a carpenter, you know, the day after and that sort of thing. And that's fine. You know, he's in a lengthy period of exploration, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But here in New York, the labor unions have been the traditional means of upward mobility for a lot of the Irish, the Italians, you know, and other white ethnics in this country. So They created these guilds and labor unions and basically, you know, brought their sons and their grandsons and the great-grandsons up to the ranks. So, you know, I watched a friend of mine do it, and I was like, yeah, man, that's how you do it, you know, and that's how you build wealth. You know, you get into the middle class, you know, and that sort of thing. Have a nice, I mean, if that's your reality, that's not everybody's reality, but, you know, you make a decent living. And you're able to support your family, and not have to worry about much. I mean, you know. So, you know, we were talking about you know, organized labor and how it has been degraded under these Republican administrations because they don't want to share the wealth. This is why we have a problem with the stimulus package now. That's being held up. They're saying Pelosi's holding up. Pelosi's not holding up anything. The Republicans don't want to give a dime to the average Joe. That's the bottom line. They had no problems opening up the coffers. They're giving all that money to big business. But when it came to the average Joe, they did not give $1,200 over a four-month period. And what are people going to do with that, man? I mean, it's just, it's sad. And I was talking to a friend of mine. He got PPE money. He did. And he knows a couple other people got it. I didn't get it for any of my businesses. I don't know what happened. I filed the paperwork on time, everything, and I did not get it done. Plus, I had a problem with IRS. They refused to release one of my, you know, EINs, just, you know, bureaucratic minutia, inertia. And this administration is going out. And once this administration goes out, we start getting more responsible administrators in there, you know, at the SES level, then it'll nudge these grade 13, 14s, and 15s who actually run these departments. They're like the super grades in the military. You know, the master sergeants on up, you know, sergeant majors, command sergeant majors, and that sort of thing. You know, the guys that actually run the military. And but the officers are the ones that give the orders. And so in this particular case, you know, SES are the officers, you know, senior executive service. And once we get some responsible ones in there, we can pretty much you know. Rein in these out of control Trumpians who have insulated themselves in these federal agencies, you know, because a lot of these agencies simply don't work as a consequence of Trump administration. You know, they didn't want to work anyway, and now they really don't work. And I can't afford to drag these agencies into court every time I need them to fill a records request, or, you know, it's just foolishness. I mean, you know, to be honest with you. So that's where we're at with that. But, yeah, he was telling me he got his a substantial amount of money. He owns a business. And, yeah, he told me the money was in his account, and he was, you know, quite thrilled, and I'm sure he was. And I didn't get a dime, not one single red cent for East New York. War for Applied Anthropologics. And that's some of the things that caused me to pause and take a step back and say, man, I got to restructure these businesses so this never, ever happens again, God forbid. You know, because we're virtual, so we don't have a lot of overhead, but still we do have expenses. I mean, things still, you know, we have fixed expenses, and those fixed expenses have to be paid, so. That's where we're at with that. And, you know, we're just hoping that the unions get out. You know, they were traditionally a Democratic base, but you got a lot of union members that voted for Trump, you know, for whatever reason, you know, whether it's because they're bigoted or, you know, bigots, or because they believe in his economic policies. I don't know. You know, some of the policies are good. I don't believe they're all bad. But I believe that, you know, in this case, you have to be wary of the messenger. In this case, Trump is not a good messenger. He's not a person that we want promoting anything in this country. You know, he is actively promoting division, you know, stoking racial fears and animus to promote his campaign. It's unfortunate. It's irresponsible. And I think that the country is going to have a very difficult time coming back from the brink of civil war, as we are on. And everybody thinks this hyperbole. I've been saying it for months. Is living in a bubble. They're very, you know, engaging some degree of naivete, because we are on the brink. It's no doubt about it. You see evidence of this in Portland. And prior to that, you know, in South Carolina, where, you know, Dylann Roof went into that church and shot 9 parishioners, all prominent members of the Democratic Party, by the way, these were party leaders, you know, in addition to, you know, their ministries. You know, a lot of them were ministers and, you know, either lay ministers or ordained ministers, but they were, you know, in church leadership, and they were also in the local political leadership. So, you know, we got to look at that. You know, there's a reason for all that, how that occurred. And there's a reason for, you know, these Trump supporters to come out and, you know, do what they did. You know, had a young white guy come out and, you know, kill people, and local authorities walk right past them. So the people were, you know, they finally finally got him. So anyway, we're going to talk about this more over the coming weeks. And if I'm not here, you know, I'll try to set up the show beforehand, you know, but have no fear. I am around, and I will be back in town, figuratively speaking. And in the meantime, and in between time, you know, don't forget to exercise your franchise and vote. It is very important that you vote. Have a great week.